waiting by the street's door when Dr. Hopkins reached it. He nodded.
You are sure about the medicine? The doctor said quietly.
Oh, yes, sir. Every day I watch him pour out a spoonful.
Oh, good. He can be a little, sometimes he doesn't get on well with people.
Yes, sir?
Very particular about accuracy.
Yes, sir.
Which is a good thing, of course. Wonderful thing, accuracy, said Dr. Hopkins, and sniffed. Up to a point, of course. Well, good day to you.
Good day, sir.
When Igor returned to the workshop, Jeremy was carefully pouring the blue medicine into a spoon. When the spoon was exactly full, he tipped it into the sink. They check, you know, he said. They think I don't notice.
I'm sure they mean well, sir.
I'm afraid I can't think so well when I take the medicine, he said. In fact, I think I'm getting on a lot better without it, don't you? It slows me down. Igor took refuge in silence. In his experience, many of the world's greatest discoveries were made by men who would be considered mad by conventional standards. Insanity depended on your point of view, he always said. And if it was the view through your own underpants, then everything looked fine. But young Master Jeremy was beginning to worry him. He never laughed, and Igor liked a good maniacal laugh. You could trust it. Since giving up the medicine, Jeremy had not, as Igor had expected, begun to gibber and shout things like, "Mad? They said I was mad, but I shall show them all!" He'd simply become more focused. And then there was that smile. Igor was not easily frightened because otherwise he wouldn't be able to look in the mirror, but he was becoming a little troubled.
"Now, where were we?" said Jeremy. "Oh, yes, give me a hand here."
Together they moved a table aside. Under it, dozens of glass jars hissed.
"Not enough power," said Igor. "Although we have not got the mirrors right yet, sir."
Jeremy pulled the cloth off the device on the workbench. Glass and crystal glittered, and in some cases glittered very strangely. As Jeremy had remarked yesterday, in the clarity that was returning now that he was carefully pouring one spoonful of his medicine down the sink twice a day, some of the angles looked wrong. One crystal had disappeared when he'd locked it into place, but it was clearly still there because he could see lights reflecting off it.
"And we've still got too much metal in it, sir," Igor grumbled. "It was the spring that did for the last one."
"We'll find a way," said Jeremy.
"Homemade lightning is never as good as a real thought," said Igor.
"Good enough to test the principle," said Jeremy.
"Test the principle, test the principle," muttered Igor. "Sorry, sir, but Igors do not test the principle. Strap it to the bench and put a good thick bolt of lightning through it. That's our motto. That's how you test something."
"You seem ill at ease, Igor."
"Well, I'm sorry, sir," said Igor. "It's the climate disagreeing with me. I'm used to regular thunderstorms."
"I've heard that some people really seem to come alive in thunderstorms," said Jeremy, carefully adjusting the angle of a crystal.
"Ah, that was when I worked for Baron Finkelstein," said Igor.
Jeremy stood back. This wasn't the clock, of course. There was still a lot more work to do, but he could see it in front of him if he closed his eyes, before they had a clock. This was just an essay to see if he was on the right lines. He was on the right lines. He knew it. Tick. Susan walked back through the motionless streets, sat down in Madame Frout's office, and let herself sink back into the stream of time. She'd never found out how this worked. It just did. Time didn't stop for the rest of the world, and it didn't stop for her. It was just that she entered a kind of loop of time, and everything else stayed exactly as it was until she'd finished what she needed to do. It was another inherited family trait. It worked best if you didn't think about it, just like tightrope walking. Anyway, now she had other things to think about. Madame Frout turned her gaze back from the rat-free mantelpiece.
"No," she said, "it seems to have gone."
"It was probably a trick of the light, madam," said Susan. "Mostly human. Someone like me," she thought.
"Yes, of course."
Madame Frout managed to get her glasses on, despite the fact that the string was still tangled with the button. It meant that she'd moored herself to her own chest, but she was damned.